something to do too. Her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While foreign affairs are screwing rotten, light morale has hit rock bottom. Dying embers stand forgotten. Talks of peace will be in trial.
Central Florida, the swamp of Central Florida. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and this is Off the Beaten Path. Today's date is March 10th, 2024. It's been a full week of scripted news and sound bites that is being passed off as real news, most of which I would call the fake news. The time to be vocal is now. Silence is implied consent. Please visit the RBN website for great resource articles for provocative insight and analysis. And share what you have learned. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. My email has changed for a little bit. It's OTBP, which stands for the show, Off the Beaten Path, steve@gmail.com. So OTBP, steve@gmail.com, and our call-in number is 512-248-8252. Well, it is Sunday, March 10th, 2024, and daylight savings time, spring forward, yes. We turn our clocks ahead by 1 hour, and it's funny that they started at 2 in the morning, 0200 military time there. That's 2 a.m., and what idiot decided this, by the way? What idiot decided this at 2 in the morning to change the clocks? Why 2 in the morning? Of course, you do it before you go to bed, but the point is, why 0200? Why 2 in the a.m. in the morning? Obsolete, outdated, and unnecessary, but it still exists. And we hear politicians talking all the time about, getting rid of this thing. It's unnecessary. We shouldn't do it. Not every state does it, by the way, but some states are sticking to it. And once in a while, you'll hear a politician talking about it needs to go, but it doesn't go anywhere. It continues again. You know, spring forward, fall back. We continue to do the same thing, and people complain about it. So basically, our sunset is later, and the kids are at the bus stop in the dark, waiting for their indoctrination yellow submarine to arrive. Let's hope little Johnny doesn't slip and fall under the bus and be a casualty here. But it's something that's outdated and not necessary. We need to all be on the same time zone. It's just ridiculous. Time consuming. I changed all my clocks today. 28 clocks. 28 clocks. I kid you not. I didn't realize I had that many clocks in my house. My wife took half. I took half. Bringing our cell phones along to make sure we had the current time because our cell phones, for some reason, they just update themselves. Amazing. My computer updates itself, but I did wall clocks. My cars, my wristwatch. If it tells time, I changed the time today. Again, excluding my computer because it's done automatically here. Climbing up on a ladder in my kitchen. I have high ceilings around 8 feet was where my clock was sitting to change the time, and I wonder how many old people tried this and fell, causing injury or death, I wonder. Well, they say Father Time killed him. It literally did. He fell trying to change the time on his clock for daylight savings time. Amazing that we continue on with this nonsense here. Why don't our politicians fix the problem? I don't know. Like I said, we're going to keep with it. We're going to stay on this agenda here, flipping our clocks forward and backward. And not everybody does it. So, again, it should be all on the same page here. Let's just agree that we need to stop this nonsense here. Maybe we should do what the Hispanics do in California. They probably do it in your area also. It's pretty funny with their Christmas lights. They'll have the Christmas lights on all year long, but they'll only be on during the Christmas holiday season. And baby Jesus and the manger and the shepherds, all that stuff will be in the front yard still. It just won't be lit up, not until like December 1st. We could do the same thing with our clocks. And we simply decide to, you know, look at the clock and say, oh, yeah, I forgot it's spring. So spring forward. So instead of it's two, it's three now. And do the same for fall backwards 1 hour. And just leave our clocks the same because it's ridiculous. Again, something that should go away. It's totally obsolete and nonsense, unnecessary. Now, the politicians working to stop our cyber attacks. We've been told about cyber attacks against our grid. Yes, it's going to happen. How many times have we been warned about something that actually turns true? Isn't that kind of suspicious a little bit? Somebody warns you about a cyber attack, or they warn you about an inside terrorist attack here, and we go, wow, when it happens, amazing. I can't believe they got that right. Huh. Should we not be talking to that person a little bit there, maybe as an investigator, a profiler, a criminal investigator, to say, how did you know that? What were your clues? Or maybe was it an inside job? You know, but again, we're being told the cyber attack's coming, the inside attack within the borders of the U.S. here, the criminal terrorist attack. Of course, we've let in so many criminals now. I think we're probably at 40 million people in this country that are here illegally. But, that's not it. You know, only a small percentage that may want to hurt you. Well, just do the math. Let's say it's 10%. You see what I'm saying here? We're in trouble. It could be a lot more than 10%. Of the 40 million here in this country that mean to do harm here. You know, America is not well liked in the world at all. We've created a lot of our own problems, and I'm not saying you and me. We're the innocent victims in this all. We want a fair and honest government here. We want a government that believes in it, looking after the citizens. The citizens, not the non-citizens, but the citizens, and working for us, but it's turned the other way around. We're working for them. They're not working for us. But, you know, the politicians, you know, they're kind of like they can only do one thing at a time. They can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So we're working on this. We're working on this. How about the $50 billion that are stolen each year by cyber criminals, the internet hackers? How about that? Well, we're going to focus on this right now. We'll get to that later. But we've been having this issue for the last 10 years, ever since they brought in the digital age to us here, telling us it would be a convenience for us. It's turned out to be just the opposite for us. It has been a liability. And here we're just saying, well, they got into my account. You know, all these different scams they have. My mom, they're always hitting my mom up on stuff. And thank God she talks to me first before she reacts and pushes any buttons or says anything, because you got to admit, the elderly, no picking on anybody, but you got to admit, sometimes they can be very vulnerable, not quite thinking outside the box of the criminal mentality out there. It's looking to find prey in people that don't quite understand technology, and they can be easily driven by fear. You know, the IRS is going to come arrest you unless you give us a down payment on what you owe now. Well, if you don't owe any money, you shouldn't worry about that at all. But the IRS never contacts people by your text phones, and they don't email you to say you're in violation. They send you a little letter, and that's the way it's done. Again, fear moves people and activates people sometimes to look not to the rational and the logic of what they're being told. It's just they've been driven by fear or moved by fear. But that's what we're looking at here. I got word the other day from a good friend of mine listening to this network that he actually witnessed, I looked on the media to find something on the media, if it was mentioned in the media, or some other source I could talk to, but he says, I'm your source. He and his wife are the source, but evidently the illegals were dropped off into Central Florida the other day. Now, they've been dropping them off near the malls, near the outlets, assumed that they have cash in hand, your cash, your taxpayer dollars, $10,000 at least, probably, cell phone chargers, and a little index card, probably with a telephone number of who to take you further up the road or to stay put, who to house you. These NGOs, these religious organizations that are being used as accessory to get these illegals in this country and disperse them throughout the nation. We just found out this week 320,000 illegals were flown into this country and shipped out all over the place. Amazing. This is treason. Flat out treason, what we're seeing now by this resident, this cadaver in chief, Joe Biden, this brain dead guy here. And we're going to get into the state of the delusion address here pretty soon. Illegal immigration, let's just call it what it is, okay? It is a cancer. It is a cancer of your nation. No borders. Illegal immigration is a cancer in your nation. It is, right now, we are currently in stage 3 cancer. Stage 3. Now remember this, people. There's only 4 stages of cancer. There's only 4 stages. Then the cancer consumes its host, and the host dies. That's how it works. And I hate to say this, but we are leading to extinction of America. What we know as America is disappearing. Our language, our history, our culture, our faith, everything is being erased to bring in the New World Order, to bring in globalization, the one world government here. These illegals, and I will not call them newcomers, they are illegals. They've been illegal since day one. They're not migrants. They're not immigrants. These are people who break the law, come into your country, over the border. They are illegals. They are gobbling up your resources. These illegal invaders are gobbling up our resources. The hospitals writing off some debt, as much as they can possibly write off, and then passing off the cost to the consumer, the paying consumer, or the insurance companies. And sooner or later, guess what? It's all over. It's all over. You gave away the store shuts its doors. It's over. Now we're going to be seeing rising crime, and there's no more room in the jails and prisons. What do we do? Well, you got two options here. You can decriminalize the crime itself, smack them on the wrist, put a little ankle bracelet like Joe says here, and report back to the courts in a couple years when we have time to hear your case. Of course, we know if you kick a fire ant hill, the fire ants go everywhere. They may come back to the hive, they may not. The stupid idea of an ankle bracelet, they'll come back, right? So we're going to either decriminalize it, or we're going to start letting people out of prison and jails early to accommodate the new arrivals. You guys have been in prison long enough. Yeah, I know you murdered somebody, and you were supposed to get 40 years to life. We're going to give you 10. You're almost there. Promise to be on good behavior. We'll let you out. We got somebody else who's going to fill this room right now. It's kind of like an airline, you know. The airline itself doesn't leave the terminal until it's full. And that's why everybody has a piece of different price on the airline. Because an empty seat makes no money. An empty cell makes no money in a prison or a jail. They require a body to be in the jail or the prison to make money. It's a money-making deal is what it is. Incarceration, the prison system, the jail system. It's a joke. It's an industry created for profit. It surely does not deter crime. It might deter crime if you actually had some harsh penalty. Maybe. Just maybe. But then you get the deranged person who doesn't care anyway. You know what? I'm going to kill this guy. I hate him. I'm going to kill him. And if they catch me and they put me on death row, well, I've got at least 10 to 15 years in the judicial process here to tie up the courts with some kind of lame excuse of why I killed the guy. And then somewhere along the way, some liberals are going to come out of the works and say, you know what? We don't believe in capital punishment anymore. We don't believe in capital punishment. You know what? We'll give you life in prison. And then that turns into a parole, and you're out of prison again, and you're back out there, going back to the same turf, the same places you were that got you in trouble, hanging out with the same kind of people that got you in trouble. And within 3 to 5 years, you're back in the system again. Pretty much. What I want to know is, now, a sad situation I talked about last week, Lakin Riley, not Lincoln Riley, but Lakin Riley, a 22-year-old nursing student from the University of Georgia, who was brutally murdered, her skull bashed in, died, and she was put to rest, laid to rest on Friday. I would like to know if anybody living in Georgia, JR will be probably calling in a little later, but I'm wanting to bet, I'm wanting to look at the possibility that since we all know the borders are wide open and Joe Biden's doing nothing to stop this, and he's using it to an advantage to boost the Democratic voter roll, no doubt about it. There's other reasons he's doing it, but he has created this problem. He's created the problem. He's undone everything that Donald Trump set to do to stop the border invasion. He undid everything, make sure we never build a wall. Of course, a wall around the Capitol during the State of the Delusion address here is necessary because he worried about you being another January 6th protester and taking down everything. Of course, that's not going to happen because it never was an insurrection to begin with. There were no weapons, nothing. Simply people protesting, a couple people getting out of hand. But for the most part, most everybody was behaving themselves, just protesting the Stop the Steal. So I want to know in Georgia and national-wise how this affected the people in Georgia and nationwide, this death of a very young girl, a very promising nursing student here, her death at 22 years old. How many people went right out and said, you know what, I may have a firearm, but I may need another one, or I'm going to need some more ammunition. How many people actually decided that because they realized with the open borders and Biden is not protecting this nation, that they rushed out to get a firearm, purchase a firearm, purchase some ammunition, or get a concealed carry permit? Now, if you're lucky, I think in South Carolina, I saw something the other day that they now have constitutional carry. We have constitutional carry down here in Florida, and I think it's a great thing. I highly encourage people in Florida to carry a firearm. It's concealed, but carry the firearm. Don't let people know you have it. You're not at an advantage if you let everybody see it. You're at the greatest advantage to keep it concealed and nobody sees it. Then, if by chance you happen to have to pull your firearm out to defend yourself, or let's say you're in the Walmart and some whacked out, crazed nut starts firing on people, he'll not see you. He'll not know that you have a firearm because it's concealed. And if he sees that you have something, you're the first one to be taken out because his goal is to take out as many people as he can. So he's looking for that law enforcement. He's looking for somebody that wants to brag and look what I've got. I've got a gun. Smart guy wants to be in the concealed carry because you'll have the greatest advantage over your enemy, the shooter. So again, if your state has it, I highly encourage you to exercise that right to carry your firearm. Just keep it concealed. Baggy clothes, baggy shirt, you can't see it, you are at advantage. So I'm just wondering how many people actually in Georgia and nationwide had actually gone out and bought a firearm or the ammo. I'm willing to bet it's a lot. I don't think anybody wants to talk about it. Surely the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about it. Joe Biden doesn't want to talk about it. Hell, they couldn't even mention her name until Marjorie Taylor Greene screamed, "Say her name. Say her name." And then when he did, brain dead Biden says, "Lincoln Riley. Lincoln. Lincoln Riley." Amazing. I watched it. What can you say? You know, it was not a State of the Union address. It was angry, it was dark, it was political, it was strategic. It was not a State of the Union address. Why wasn't it a State of the Union address, Steve? Why wasn't it? Well, because there's nothing to brag about. State of the Union address is supposed to touch on the positives. What has been accomplished in your presidency? At least the last couple of months or last 6 months. Show us and you tell us, hey, this is your time to brag and tell everybody what you've done and what you've accomplished. Joe Biden can't do that. Because everything he's accomplished, and I'll be honest with you, if I could find one damn thing to say that Joe Biden did correctly and did well, I'd be honest enough to tell you right here now, I would tell you, at least he did this right. He did this right. He's done nothing right. He is the worst resident president in our lifetime. He makes the Jimmy Carter presidency look damn good. And I remember the Jimmy Carter presidency, the failures of Jimmy Carter, you know, allowing Cuba, Fidel Castro, to open up his prisons and allowing those criminals to come into the United States in 1980, November of 1980. He had like 2 weeks of open border, just let them come on in here. Castro was laughing his ass off, saying that stupid American president here, he's going to take all our criminals in. Amazing. The Mariel Boatlift of 1980. We have it now, continuing now, not 2 weeks of it, but a continued Mariel Boatlift 2.0 on steroids that's been going for the last couple years since the Biden administration started. So I don't know. It's not a good situation. Again, this is stage three cancer. This is stage three cancer that we're in right now. And to my knowledge, being a cancer survivor, you can put it remission. But you can't go back if you're in stage three or in stage four. And you can't pop back into stage three. You can't pop backwards. We're in stage three right now, illegal immigration. This is terrible what we're putting up with. Now, his address, his delusion, state of the delusion address here, starting about 25 minutes late, demonstration by the Palestinian people. I heard this. I'm not sure this was true. Somebody told me that Biden had soiled himself prior to the address and had to go change himself. But that's possible. That's quite possible. You know. My first impression with Joe Biden on this address, first of all, it became apparent to me that this is a different Joe Biden. This is a different Joe Biden. This is a ramped up rants, yelling, a very angry man at the podium here at his State of the Union address. This is not the same Joe Biden, the sleepy Joe, the bumbling and mumbling Joe we saw. This was Joe Biden on mega caffeine, or taking too many amphetamine tabs, one or the other. This was not the same Joe Biden. This was a very dark, negative, political, lashing out at Donald Trump at least 13 times, lashing out at Donald Trump. This was a political stump speech for Joe Biden, attacking his opposition here, because he did not state anything damn good. Anything good with the economy, anything at all, no. You know, Joe, you can't eliminate 3 million jobs because of COVID, and then they come back to those jobs once the COVID nonsense is over, and then you claim you created 3 million jobs. It doesn't work that way. These are not new jobs. You're just coming back to your old job, if you're lucky. There was nothing positive to speak about the State of the Union address. It was a train wreck, a Biden train wreck. And Joe Scarborough, ranting about what the best mental cognition that he's ever seen Joe Biden have. Oh, my God. His physical last week, of course, just a physical, not having a mental evaluation. No cognitive testing here to see what his cognition is. Of course not. No, just the physical. And I'm going to say this. This applies to both Republican and Democrats, that I believe at a certain age in your life, if you're serving the people in the presidency, in the Oval Office, I would like to see a physical assessment and a mental cognition test done every year if you're over a certain age. I haven't decided what that age is yet, but definitely we know, we understand it's factual science that we lose brain cells as we get older and that your cognition is not always quite as sharp as it used to be. That's the way it is. That's life. We cannot change that. Maybe you can do some things to kind of help your memory, but overall, it's something that we all have to live with, the losing of brain cells and memory issues. It's a fact of life. Like I said, this applies to Democrats and Republicans alike. Don't you think we deserve this? You know, if you have somebody in the important role of the commander-in-chief, I guess you want to say, in the Oval Office, the president, that's leading this country or defending this country, don't you think you should deserve somebody who's all there? Somebody who's physically fit, somebody who's mentally fit to handle the job. Well, I know it works that way in the industry. You don't see successful industries with brain dead people at the top. You don't. They get weeded out. They give the early retirement. And here's the parachute deal you get here when you get out of office early or you leave the company here. We'll make sure you're taken care of. But they want the sharpest minds at the top who make the decisions for the company to grow. Let's face it, this government is a corporation. It has a CEO. And there are people behind the scenes who are the handlers for Joe Biden, the puppet master, and Biden's the puppet. But the guy has been showing his weakness for an awful long time, and I don't think I stand alone here saying that this guy needs to be removed from office. 25th Amendment, on top of all the corruption, the pay-to-play, the selling of the Oval Office, the selling of the Biden name for profit. Again, I've never seen a more dishonest presidential family than I have this. I thought Clintons were bad. I did not like the Bushes. I thought they were very crooked also. But I got to say, the Bidens take the cake. The Bidens take the cake here. Imagine, here's a guy that's not all there mentally, but he's well-meaning. He's a well-meaning elderly man with a very poor memory. And he's in charge of leading your country. Leading your country down the drain. Again, this address was not a State of the Union address. This was a political, dark, strategic message. And that's all it was, to make Trump look bad, make you and I look bad, if you support Donald Trump or if you're a MAGA supporter, to tie us in that we're somebody we have to be watched closely. And that damn wall, that fence around the Capitol, that was to send a message, we don't trust you. MAGA, we don't trust Trump supporters, we don't trust you one bit. It was a focal political stunt to demonize you, to make you look bad. Yeah, you need a fence to protect your scrawny ass. Yes, that's exactly what's happened here. No, we're not a threat. You're the threat. You're a threat to our Constitution. You're a threat to the rule of law. You're a threat to our national security. I don't know. Take a deep breath, Steve. Take a deep breath. Demonizing those of us who call it the lies in their official narrative. Aren't you a little tired of that? Aren't you a little tired of this? As I said in the beginning of the show, silence is implied consent. It's time that we all basically rise up and say what has to be said and stop fearing of how it may be taken. If it offends somebody, good. Maybe it'll wake him up a little bit. You know, maybe it'll make it wake him up a little bit. But you have to say what's on your mind and stop being using PC, political correctness here. And I shouldn't say that, but I want to say it. But I watched a movie on Friday night. Friday night was movie night at our house. We don't do that very often. And I went to the DVR and I pulled up a movie I haven't seen in years and years and years. And I'm glad I pulled it up because it had a nice message at the end. And I'm going to share that with you. The movie was called Open Range with Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall. Fine actors. At least I really like Robert Duvall. Costner, not too bad. Not too bad. Not shabby. But when I come back, we're going to talk about this movie a little bit and the message I learned from watching this movie, which I want to instill in you. Instill in you. Stay tuned.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Last night I had too much to drink. Sitting in the club with so many fools, playing to rules, trying to impress, but feeling rather empty. I had another drink. Friends playing the game, they're in the scene I should have been.
And we're back. Let's talk about a little bit more, just touch base again a little bit more on the Lake and Riley situation here. The crime that the Democrats got all upset about on the State of the Union address here was one word. One word got him in deep water, got him in some hot water, and that's using the word illegals, talking about what broke into this country here, the criminals that have come across the border. Again, we are looking at 2.0 on the Mariel boat lift of Cuba right now. And that was his biggest crime. Pelosi and many Democrats did not like the worst the use of the word illegal. But that's, let's face it, you can't spin the word illegal any other way. Okay, it's against the law, and that's how. I mean, there's no other way to define. There's no gray area on illegal. Illegal is illegal. It's breaking the law. It's not abiding to the word, the rule of law, and there's no other way to describe this. The situation of people coming across your border and coming in your country. That's, they're illegal. They're never going to be newcomers. They're not going to be accepted. I'm not going to accept them. You shouldn't accept them, as they're sucking off the government tit. Okay, let's, it's true. That's awful harsh language, Steve. Sucking the government tit. Yes, that's exactly what they are. And that's your money. That's your tax dollars being stripped from you to take care of the illegals coming into this country. Now, I had great admiration for the Gold Star veteran, the father of a veteran who died in the military action. I believe he was a Marine, shouting out about the military, the not taking care of the government, not taking care of the veterans, not taking care of the homeless vets, simply taking care of the illegals that are coming to this country, pouring all their money and resources into those people that should not be here. He had every right to scream that, every right to scream that, except I would have stopped. I wouldn't have stopped. I would have gone a little further with it. I wrote out something the other day, and I would have gone right after them, the entire Biden family. Hey, if you're going to arrest me, even though it was just a misdemeanor, I'm going to make this one stick. You know what? It's live. It's uncensored, and the world is going to hear how I really feel about you. I'm going to lay it out there. I'm going to insult you in the best way I possibly can. Insult you on your policies, your character flaws, everything that you've done in the last 3 years to destroy this nation. I'm going to point out that in screaming at you. Then you can take me away. Then you can take me away. You're going to bust me for something. I'm going to give you something really to bust me for, because I'm going to lay it out there. I'm going to just tell you off completely. Marjorie Taylor Greene does it. Marjorie Taylor Greene does it. Well, I guess in your politics, you get that privilege of screaming out things, yelling at people. You can do whatever you want. That's okay. But it doesn't apply to the citizens. There should have been nothing. The guy was not violent. He screamed what he had to scream. He did it. He got up, walked out, escorted out. He was not violent. He simply spoke his piece. He exercised his First Amendment rights. By the way, I would have said, where am I going? I have the Constitution, my First Amendment rights. I am voicing my opinion. And you're arresting me? So, you are a dictator. You are a tyrant. And you do not believe in the rule of law. And you do not believe in the Constitution. Tommy Joe. I would also want to know, with this revealing this information of 320,000 illegals that have been flown to this country, put on buses, and sent everywhere, I want to know what airlines did this. I want to know what airlines participated in this illegal action to human traffic, I guess you could call this. Could you not call this human trafficking? Bringing people in? I mean, yeah, you didn't put a gun to their head and force them on the plane. But isn't this human trafficking in some way? Isn't it? I want to know what airlines participated. I want to know what airlines participated. And I want a boycott, a complete boycott on these airlines that carried this through. I want a boycott. Hit them hard. Hit them where it hurts, in the pocketbook. Let's take our first caller tonight, Sally in Alaska. Welcome to the show.
Oh, man. I knew I had to call in when I heard you coming on with such a spark in your voice.
Hey, by the way, just want to let you know, Sally, I may be coming at your way. And if I am, let's touch bases on email. I want to meet you.
Oh, yes. Homers, get here quick, because we're turning into Monterey up here. Millionaires galore. No. But okay. I'm not going anywhere. But oh, that's so good. That'd be so far out. Anyway, you know, one thing I was thinking when you were talking, oh God, I'm so angry, is that why don't we abolish the party, the two-party system? Get rid of the parties. They're just like, we might as well have the Federal Reserve running our you know, elections.
Yeah.
Which we probably do. Like, you know, why do we need them? Let these people, you were just talking about all the qualities that are needed for every single person we have working in this government. And yeah. You summed it right up. And that's what we need to get back to. And I don't think we need those money monger carpet bagging, you know, creeps. I'm all for it.
Well, I can tell you right off the end, I quit the two-party system. I quit being a Republican long, long ago. As I saw, Republicans were no longer being conservative anymore. I got out of the party. I said, forget that. And the Democrats, actually both have gone through a transformation, a mutation of the animal, the beast itself, and not representing what they actually truly stood for. I had an extra neighbor who was a truck driver, nice guy, paid his taxes, a good humanitarian, just a good neighbor to have next door. And he was a truck driver. He was a Democrat because he was a union kind of guy, and that's what Democrats stood for, the working class man, the union man. But nowadays, what does the Democrat Party really stand for? It stands for everything under the sun. It stands for everything you can possibly think of just to grab a vote.
Yep.
They have no values, no morals, no conscience, no character. And just for the vote, they'll say, well, we're okay with that. If that's what you want, sure, we're for that also. They don't have any standards. And so when they change to that, I can't imagine why anybody would want to be a Democrat. Of what the Democrats have become, the party has become right now, I can't imagine anybody wants to stay with this party. Because it's so far away from the original party. And the Republicans are a very big disappointment also. It's why I am an independent. Whether it matters or not, I don't like either of you guys. And maybe there's a couple, maybe there's a good person here, maybe there's a good person on this side. And I'll simply vote for the person that has the best policies, who actually carries out the policies that I think that are best for this nation.
Well, I was a Republican my first year because my dad, I believed in the morality behind and the fiscal, the whole thing, you know, but there wasn't anything much going on. And I got out of that. I become a nonpartisan. Now, sometimes I've switched parties and then gone back to the general election just because I want to divest with somebody and hope to start electoral. Let these people stand on their own gift of God and what they know about governments and other lands and what they understand, the whole thing. Yeah. I could see a lot of people, well, for you, for instance, and my dad, I wouldn't have wanted it for him, but you could run things, you know? We might have to catch some classes up. I mean, I'm turning 77, but I'll tell
you know,
what.
Here's the sad part about it, Sally. They'll probably dig around in my history and find something I did as a teenager and try to make it look bad. And, you know, maybe some girl will come out of the woodworks and from my high school class and say he touched me inappropriately, he took advantage of me, just like they did Brett Kavanaugh. You know, one of those situations here, somebody 30 years ago now comes forward because I'm running for office and trying to take me down.
That's like,
of course,
that gal that says Trump felt her up in a dress shop where she can't even remember.
E. Jean Carroll, that fraudster E. Jean Carroll, yes, exactly. That type of person.
Give me a break. I mean, you know, where are we going? That's ridiculous. I mean,
we're not following the rule of law anymore. There used to be a little thing when you go to court is that you bring some evidence. You can't say, well, he did this to me and not show the evidence. You have to show conclusive evidence. And by the way, there is a statute of limitations. And you can't change the statute of limitations to allow a lawsuit to go forward and then later on change it back to the statute of limitations. You can't do that. But that's exactly what we saw against Donald Trump.
Well, I knew we were in trouble back when I was being a food stamp fee agent up here. Yeah. And I was 8 months pregnant with my son at the time. And I was working out of my trailer. And he was a pervert, first of all. And he was a liar and a thief. He was thieving from the state, and I knew it, and I had proof of it. He ended up, and he was a heavy duty. I mean, you know, he had big fists, and he had a hard hat. And he socked me in the face outside of my house, and my hair was long, and it wrapped around the antenna. So I was like, oh, man. And, okay, what happened was, and this is when I knew we were in deep trouble, I was told that I could not appear in court because the state had taken over becoming the plaintiff. Now, I don't know how or why that happened other than what's happening right now. You know, because I was lost. I was not allowed to hear him call me every kind of filthy hippie name you could think of, and the only reason I even heard about it was because a friend of mine was in court.
Yeah.
Along with a whole bunch of little fifth graders that knew me from my husband's work in school. And I walked out, I was shocked. I was just shocked. And I stiff-armed the door leaving. I was so close to hysteria. And I hit this, I don't know whether he was a trooper or a state park, right in the face with those swinging doors. And the cop next door just let me go. And I got outside with the judge. And he said, "Sally, why are you so upset? You didn't lose the case." I said, "You can't be that stupid, Your Honor." I said, "You should be ashamed of yourself." I said, "I was 8 months pregnant. I'm 8 months pregnant." He was cheating and lying, and that's the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. And I just, I said, "I should have, what you're saying is I should have socked him back, you know, and then I would have had to accuse you of assault."
Yeah.
And I just, that's when I knew something's happening here.
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to something that my teacher, Dr. Vargas, back in high school, I'm going to say I was probably a junior in high school here, my business law class. Yes, I took a business law class, believe it or not. And he wrote on the chalkboard, it says, ignorance is no excuse in the law. Ignorance is no excuse in the law. But it is today, and you can be rewarded heavily for it. You know, what's happened to the rule of law here? And I'll get to the Fannie Willis thing here and then the Nathan Way, the stud muffin situation there a little later. But, you know, there's three kinds of lies. Actually, I learned there were three kinds of lies, and I've added a fourth to that. But we have lies, damn lies, statistics, and now we have polling. Polls is your newest lie to add to that. And I'm looking at polls going, "Oh, give me a break." You know, just a couple points difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. This is, again, with the phrase that John McEnroe used to say all the time, "You can't be serious," except he would scream it. "You can't be serious." There's more than a couple points variance between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And I'm sorry, you can throw these polls. These polls are worthless. These polls are worthless. As I spoke about the ways to steal an election, and one of them was to have current polling. And the more polls you have closer to the election, you narrow the gap between candidate A and candidate B. The second thing is, when you steal the election here, you have no exit polling to find out how people voted. And the third thing is, you have a computer glitch that erases all the information backing up that there was a steal in this election. This is how it works every damn time. Now, I had a friend today. I was talking to a friend today, and I think we're in agreement here. I think something's going to happen before 2024 election. I think we're either going to have another virus release, probably, maybe in combination to a terrorist attack inside the United States. Something has to cancel the election in order to keep the Democrats in power and control. And that's the only way they can win, because it can't be Donald Trump. Not I'm a huge Trump fan, but I'm saying is the economy is the number one issue that will be voted on. The economy is number one. If people are making money, they have money to spend and enjoy, they're happy, they stay with the guy in the chair. If they're not making money and their hardships and the inflation's out of control and they have less money to spend to enjoy, they vote that guy out. That's a fact. It's always economics number one. They don't care about this abortion issue. They don't care about a lot of things that Joe Biden stands for.
Well, what about this crypto coin and Biden says, "I'm about to mandate this, you know, or I'm about to take all your pensions to help run the government."
They're going to use it as collateral.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well,
yep.
You know, to go back to days of yore, I got thinking. I went to Green Mountain in college in Vermont back when it was a girls' school, and that was in mid-60s. We're supposed to wear skirts. Anyway, we had, and it was a small campus, a block in Pulteney, Vermont, and we had two retired, I think they were probably ex-cops or ex-military, nice old men, and I'd be wandering around, and I had spent a lot of time with them. They both had had 45s on their hips, and they were and they would rotate and walk around the campus.
Right.
And I, the thought of just, you know, when I think of that poor girl jogging in her own campus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and to have that happen, it just makes me.
I know. It makes my heart ache. I see the pictures of a young girl, and she's a very pretty girl, and to think that she's never going to reach her full potential. Her potential was taken away, and that this Biden administration, Mayorkas was, you know, talking about it a little bit. Finally, he was forced to actually say something here. Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas was talking about it, but he actually said, well, you know, that it was a legal criminal. He acted like it was a lone incident. We don't have that many illegals in this country that are criminals, only a handful, and it happens sometimes, and we need to hold them accountable, but it just happens, and she was in the wrong place in the wrong time situation. The Biden administration totally ignoring it completely until Marjorie Taylor Greene actually said, say the name. Of course, she screwed that all up. No, we have more. Just do the percentages in again. If we, on 40 million, have 40 million, we have 10%. I mean, that's a lot of damn criminals. Oh, my God. So, you know what? If you haven't bought your firearm, you don't have enough ammo, hey, the writing is on the wall, people. Don't be caught left holding the bag on this one here. But if you call 911, say you need help, emergency now, you're being invaded or something, it's too late. They'll never get there in time. It's going to be up to you now. It's going to be up to us.
I'm old and frail in spite of growing up with two older brothers, both in the military, brother who was a Marine. But my first, and I would hate to think of killing anyone or needing
to.
Homer has all the same crap going on with fentanyl and income illegals. And my first offense, defense is a tac laser, and it's one of those that they warn you don't aim it in an airplane because you could conceivably blow. I mean, I can hit this thing on against the bluffs 5 miles away and see it. And that's my first. And then when I'm out in the woods, I carry my husband's 45 in case I have to shoot at something huge to scare him off or kill him, or a 38. It's kind of scary, but we don't need a concealed permit up here. We've got the, constitutional
carry. Yeah, constitutional carry. Right. Good.
Right.
And I tell everybody, exercise that right. If your state has that, exercise it. Use it. By the way, Sally, can I ask you a question, Sally?
Sure.
All right. In the 60s, did you ever sneak out of the girls' schools to meet a boy? Did you ever do that?
No. No, I didn't go to boarding school.
Okay. Well, I had to ask. I had to ask because I've heard those stories of girls sneaking out of the dorms to meet boys in girls' school. I'm just curious.
Well, yeah, that's when they're stuck there boarding. No, this was just a day school, but we did our,
own
mischief. You know,
you're off the hook. Okay, you're respectable. I'm just curious.
That I went to used to be a boarding school, and the trombone, jazz brothers, Dorsey's.
Yep.
And both of their girls went to the same prep school when it was a boarding school, and they used to come in there and play for the music for their dance. Talk about wanting to drool. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's pretty stuff.
Some cool folks, but just think of having Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey playing at your prep school.
That is pretty neat. That's pretty neat stuff.
Anyway, I'm hoping to see you. You stay in touch.
I'll keep you. If you got my email, drop me an email, and we'll figure out.
My text is the best. Because my emails are screwed up, and I haven't been getting anything but junk mail from the politicians.
Okay.
Then leave your
telephone number with Sam, and I will be in touch with you. Okay.
Okay.
Now wait a minute.
What did you say your new?
Oh, my new email is the name of the show. It's abbreviated now. It's OTBPSteve. OTBPSteve@gmail.com.
Well,
Yeah, standing for Off the Beaten Path. It's just OTBP, Steve, at gmail.com now. Okay?
OTP.
OTBP. It's like BP. Off the Beaten Path. OTBP. Steve, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, at steve.com. Right. Okay, thanks.
You got it, hon. Thanks. Thanks for the call. 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Get back to this to Joe Biden situation. Like I said, hopped up on caffeine or hopped up on amphetamines, one or the other. But I'm willing to bet that after the situation here being hopped up on either or, he's going to be stuck in the basement for a little while here, because there's a major, major back blow of on your cognitive ability, your ability to think and speak. It's like a major, major hangover that Joe Biden went through right after the address itself, and I don't think they want people to see that. They're going to say, well, wait a minute here, what happened here? He was so sharp, and he was angry, and he was fired up, fiery. That's what the mainstream media kept using, the term fiery, fiery. It was a political strategy. It was a message of it was not a positive message on the State of the Union, how we're doing in this country. It was an embarrassment. It was dodging all the issues he should have been talking about. The state, financial state of this country, the inflation issues, the border. Of course, they want to talk about that. He did mention, he wanted to talk about, of course, one of his talking points was Ukraine. Opened up very early about Ukraine. We must stand by Ukraine. We must stand by Ukraine. We must continue to give aid to Ukraine, financial aid. We must continue to give them firearms and weapons to keep them in this war. Because you know why? Because Vladimir Putin is going to go extend beyond Ukraine, and he's going to take over the entire Europe. That's where he's headed with this. So none of that's true. A big, fat lie. I see it. You see it. But, you know, fear tends to paralyze common sense and rational thinking. Second hour coming up. Stay tuned.
When I wanted you to share my life, I had no doubt in my mind, and it's been you, woman, right down the line. I know how much I lean on you, only you can see the changes that I've been through, have left a mark on me. Constant as a northern star, the brightest light that shines. It's been you, woman, right down the line. I just wanna say this is my way of telling you everything I could never say before.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.